Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy V. Freeman, Jeff Thomas, Matt Rodriguez-Payne and James Everett. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week yet again in bed with someone. I'm getting fed up with this. This time it was Alice getting woken up by Harry at the crack of dawn, asking for help with his glass recycling and for some gardening tips. This meant she snapped at poor Melody. I wasn't sure if Melody was the child or the horse, but whatever she was owed a refund for being shouted at by a grumpy bint in a puffer jacket. At the shop, we had an invisible visit from Carol Toboggan, so that was nice. Susan seemed unable to distinguish the voice of Eddie, who she has known for around 60 years. I mean, it's quite a good voice, his Bartleby one, but he's not exactly Alistair McGowan, is he? And bearing in mind there are a finite number of people in Ambridge and he's slagging them all off one by one, who is going to be left to monetize his bloody channel? Even Will caught on to that, in between trying to muscle in on Ed and Emma's romantic weekend away with Jamie Perks up a tree. I can't help thinking that this loan is Will's way of buying people to hang out with. Yeah. People kept talking about harassment's hearing, and for a moment I wondered if he was going Mutton Jeff, but realised what was going on when Chris bought him a drink to congratulate him for clinging onto his job on a final warning. Harassment sounds like a different man bellowing away in Lancastrian. It's either his last-minute reprieve that's perked him up, or the prospect of a night away at Gay Grable's, washing his hair 14 times to make sure he's made the most of the free shampoo and flapping about in the enormous waffle slippers they give you. Either way, his newfound joy means he's adopted a new speaking style, which involves talking to everyone as if they're a golden retriever puppy. He starts every sentence with, "Oh, I don't want any ill to befall harassment
mate.
That would depress him in any way, but if he could stop doing that, that would be aces, thanks." Emma and Fallon had a slightly weird in-depth conversation about Emma's weightlifting, which is making her feel alive, she said, but not so alive that she grasped the opportunity of Georgie wanting to watch her training to drop something over 30 kilograms on his stupid head. "Good week for the Grundys," carolled Eddie joyously, which meant inevitably we were catapulted into a conversation with Ed, Emma and Will about the inadvisability of doing things the Grundy way. Instead, the Jolly Tree surgeons are contemplating doing things the Ed and Emma way, which presumably means in a very confused manner involving paternity tests and a lot of shouting. Emma was in a right mard as, having furiously lambasted Gay Grable's, she was then equally furious that Chris had offered his night there to someone else. No wonder she's good at weight training. Just hauling that chip about with her must offer a strenuous workout. Kate was rediscovering her inner child when her outer child causes so many problems. I'd be concentrating on that if I were her. After asking her father some frankly intrusive questions about his love life, she trotted off to dinner with him and Miranda. The cloven hoof popped out with Mrs. Erstwhile Elliot, who managed to enrage both Lillian and Kate just on the short journey between the bar and the Ploughman's. They circled each other warily at the bull while Brian sat in between them and weed himself quietly. George helped Fallon out in the tea rooms to the accompaniment of Tommy Croker and his big band, by the sound of it. Watching Fallon bend over by the dishwasher gave him a funny feeling in his front bottom, so he appears to be ready to entirely ditch all the farm work in favour of smashing avocado and serving cheese toasted on bits of slate instead. And Harrisman said he was going to give Hannah some time with the ball. She was actually hoping for some time with one of Chris's, and that didn't go too well either, as she asked him out and he practically screamed in fright. Oh. "I know dating is tough, but blimey, Hannah's the new Kirsty. Every date a danger. Does no one in Ambridge just meet someone nice at work without either being arrested by them or bitching at them for months? Do the scriptwriters not like young single women? I hear Marky's single." The end.
Yeah, poor Hannah.
That was horrible. That
was horrible. And I did feel sorry for Chris because he was so put on the spot.
Yeah.
I felt like Hannah could have actually done it slightly more subtly because, well, I suppose she just thought, no, I'm just going to ask him out. She could have said, I would have just gone for another one-to-one training session, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That training session we had was so good for me, LBW. Can we do it again a bit closer?
With no clothes on, maybe.
Because I forgot how Hannah talks, and actually I was getting had Harrison's voice in my head. Because actually, Hannah talks like that, didn't she? A bit more like that. And, but Harrison's much more Lancashire, isn't it? Every time I agree with you, I'm not sure. I thought it was because last pod we heard the what the hell is happening here with when Harrison was a baby.
And was
basically from the southeast.
Yeah.
And then.
And now he's turned into Paddy McGuinness. That's what.
Yes. It was like after what you said, he massive. There was one point where he was on the phone to George and he just went, yes, mate. And it was 30 seconds of him. Oh, it was.
Roaring
I love
northernly.
It.
Yes.
I love it when he calls people cocker. And, you know, there were some good words this week.
Yes.
Like Emma saying, what did she say to Ed tonight? She was like, oh, he's off his.
Bobbins.
Oh, yeah, I really liked that. There was some quirky language
and
this
then Ed
week,
said, yeah, that's
me.
What I nearly thought, or something like that, as in,
Yes, I loved
it. It was a Kerry week this week, I think.
I know. Well, do you think Kerry hams Harrison up for our delight?
Yes.
Because it is delightful.
Yes.
I love it when, because also, actually, Harrison always brings the energy, doesn't he?
He does.
And the happy vibes,
the
positivity. But I did. Oh, it was just so awkward for Hannah and Chris. I thought, oh my God, how can Hannah ever like? I think what's going to happen though is Chris is going to find out eventually that Alice is. They're going to find out, aren't they, that she's helping Harry, and he's going to be so angry about it that he's sort of going to go on the rebound.
Yes.
And take Hannah out.
Yes.
Whisk her away to Gay Grables.
Yes. Yes.
And. Well, no, well, like, yeah, I mean, that'd be actually
really
rude if he'd...
Because...
No, he can't now. No. I loved it when
Get
Emma found out that Fallon was
Fallon.
Going.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Fallon was like, yeah,
sorry,
we're really
anywhere.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it, actually. And Emma was like, yeah, bet you are.
Yeah.
My brother. They got loads more money than us. She's such a bitch.
She just thinks everybody's got loads more money, you know.
Why can't she just be happy for them? Yeah. They could probably actually afford it. I thought I really liked this week. I thought it was actually full of positivity.
Yes. Something I didn't understand was Ed saying that somebody was pleased with him, so he paid him cash.
Yes.
And so does that mean he's not paying VAT? He's doing things under the counter sort of thing.
Because it made him sound like he'd earned more money.
I guess
he'd been paid in cash and therefore, didn't have to...
It wasn't going to declare it.
Yeah,
I guess. But if he's running a business, he really should be doing that.
But that was his other business, wasn't it?
Yes, so, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really understand that. I also did not understand why a hat would have a sell-by date. Because when the vet inspection happened and Lillian said, and the hat was out of date, I was like, huh? I listened back.
Maybe it's because they update the safety standards fairly regularly or, you know, you're not supposed to have children's car seats and stuff like that. You have to have up-to-date ones because otherwise they're not viable because the integral structure thing of it that's what protects you is can be a bit compromised. So if they're old, so you have to have a new one.
Oh, so do you think they're a bit more like crash helmets now rather than...
There might be, it might just be that they're a bit battered or they're, they're not...
Lost their velvet.
Yes.
Because it won't surprise you to learn, Lucy, that I used to have riding lessons when I was a wee thing. Yes, I did. Every Saturday morning, I did. I was on Clover and Rocky and Misty. But I loved my riding hat because it was velvety inside.
Yes, but now they wear those ones that look like sort of
silky inside.
They're like skater helmets. Yeah, they look like sort of plasticky.
That's just not the same, is it?
No,
it's like when you have a pair of ballet shoes and they smell all leathery and gorgeous, and the riding hat had like a velvety top and a silky bit for your head. It's like luxury. Yeah. I wasn't very good at riding, actually. And all the teachers were as arsy as Alice.
Yes.
When Alice was... So I was like...
Horsey people.
Yeah, I thought just sort of standard when she was shouting at that girl. If you're on a horse, you're always being shouted at.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God, literally, what else can I do? I'm sitting and I'm holding the reins. I can't
and do
I've anything
And I've got my
else.
Heels down and my toes up.
And I'm not falling off,
and my
okay?
hamstring really hurts and it's going a bit quick and it's bumping my bum and I don't like it.
Because they try and get you to do jumps and that's so hard.
Yeah. The best bit is swanning about in the yard with your little hat on wonky and bright red cheeks and your hair in your eyes.
At the end,
you feel
when it's
so
finished.
Incredibly... accomplished and country-ish and horsey.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. And it all smells all horsey. And
used to make me really laugh when all the women because Tilly did riding lessons for about 3 weeks, I think. And
did she do them in London?
Yeah, when we lived in London, yeah.
Oh, right. Wow.
Largely because all her friends kept having birthday parties that involved plodding around in a circle with nose to tail with the pony in front.
And boring.
And they just kept giving you free lessons if you because they're trying to get you to, trying to lure you in to be a horsey girl. It used to make me laugh that the kids were fairly ambivalent about it, but the mothers, my God. They'd be there, they'd be wearing muck boots, they'd be wearing jodhpurs, and all they were doing was literally dropping the kid off and picking it up. But they'd be leaning on the gate as if they were
part of the
chewing straw, And you think, oh, get off, you work in marketing. Pack it up. For God's sake.
Oh, that seems so strange, though, doesn't it, to have a stables in London?
Yeah.
I mean, there is one near us as well, but it just... feels like it's such a strange thing to do when there's buses to get you around.
Yes.
Exactly. Why would you go and pay £100 an hour for a horse lesson?
Yes.
Anyway.
It's wherever you are, you try and bring in something else, isn't it? It's just nobody's ever content with just making the best of what they've got, sort of thing.
I feel sorry for Alice, but I also think, surely you'd guess that everyone's going to think you're drinking again because you've dropped the ball. So I would have thought she would have been trying to be a bit more desperately reassuring Lillian that she's just, not sleeping well. You could just say, I'm not sleeping well. I've got a lot on my mind. Anyway, it's I don't like the direction this is all heading.
No. And it's... hopefully Kate will I loved it when Lillian said, did you notice anything odd about Alice? And she just went, no. I don't notice anything about anybody except me. What are you talking about? Who? And she really had to, when Alice had practically waving flags shouting, I am not happy.
Not goat yoga, Alice. Come on. So 2023.
I think it will be Kate that spots it and realizes that, and she'll say it's Harry, and then hopefully her sponsor will intervene or somebody will intervene and say, oh, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah, split those two up again.
Yeah. No, it's just, and this is exactly why it's a really bad thing.
Sorry, I've just had an interruption. Sorry, one second, Lucy. So, Alison's bringing her home. Yeah, okay. Sorry, just we're missing a child.
A Have you only just realised?
And she's not in touch with us. But there is apparently someone is bringing her.
There is a plan, is there?
There is a plan.
For the recovery of the child. Okay, good.
Yes, I don't like the Alice stuff. It's just so unsettling, all of that, isn't it? And I don't like... I don't love Chris having to be suspicious of her and worrying about Martha.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Another child has just entered. It's not that child. It's a different child.
Oh.
Sorry, this is his bedroom, to be fair. So he's just looking for a book. In your own time, Al. Thanks. Quick as you can. Anyway, sorry. You carry on warbling and I'll try and chew him out.
Can't know. I want to know what book he's getting. What book is it?
Oh, what is gone. It? Let's have a look. It's Raven's Gate, Anthony Horowitz.
Ah.
Good choice. He's already read it, but he's out of books. Shut the door. Thank you. Good. Yes, there was... I liked all the... I love that they went to see Jamie Perks. Didn't you?
Yes. Oh, that was weird. Did you see that on Twitter? You know, some people cannot...
I'm not on Twitter anymore, Lucy.
Oh, I forgot.
Sorry.
You know, some people absolutely love catching the script writers out, and it's their best thing.
Right, okay.
And they're like itching to point out where they're wrong. So somebody tweeted, well, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, if they actually caught up with a tree surgeon, like one of the two that they know, like Mike and Jamie Perks, Kerry just responded with the word, patience, and then about 2 minutes later, yeah, we're off to see Jamie.
It's
really funny.
No, because then I was thinking, if they were off to see Jamie Perks, Kathy's gone. Where is Kathy gone to Australia? What happened to her in the end?
Oh, she went traveling. Off traveling, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but like, would Kenton have a relationship with Jamie? Because he had a relationship with Kathy. I don't know. I was sort of trying to work out which of Jamie's family are still about. Obviously, his dad is dead, but
yeah,
I didn't think about it that long.
I don't think Jamie's going to put in a reappearance.
No. It's just nice, isn't it, when they go out and see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a bit of the family that we'd forgotten about.
Or it's like when they say, oh, yes, I'm going to go out and stay with Debbie. And you think, really?
Or
are
even
sure?
Look, I always say this, even when they just go out to somewhere else, like when George said, oh, we've been drinking at the Hare and Hounds in I can't remember the name
or whatever it was.
Yes. And you're like, oh my god, they do have a life outside the village. It always makes me excited for some reason. It's sort of like, oh no, they are real.
Yeah.
They are real. And then George showed
It's like having a really elderly relative. Oh, it's nice. It's nice that she gets out, isn't it?
Oh,
seeing more people.
Good that they
got lovely.
Out. Mm. But George Fallon, I think Fallon knows that she has that power over George to make him soft and amenable.
Mm.
And I wonder if she's going
that
to.
That was a poor choice.
Actually, probably the opposite.
That's, yeah. That's not the problem. But anyway.
But he sounds dear and sweet when he's with Fallon, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought...
He said
well,
something tonight, though, that made me think, uh-oh, sort of... It was some...
Was it the thing about Hannah and they're only united against the enemy?
No, it was something that was disparaging towards women. And
oh,
I
God.
Thought he's gonna go too far and really,
get down from that tree.
Try something.
You can't climb a tree.
That I think he's gonna go too far and actually try something on with Fallon.
Oh god. I don't know. I feel like she could be his way out of being a dick. But then on the other hand, there's clearly no way out of being a dick apart from growing up for George.
Yeah,
he's still. Such a baby. But also, what is so strange about him? He seems to have power over people. He seems to have power over his relatives.
Yes.
That even though, you know, like doing those videos with Eddie, I mean, even though it's sort of Eddie's videos, they're just not fun. You know, they are quite, it's quite a mean thing to do, but Emma's being quite indulgent over them. And
yeah.
But it's sort of like, how many more times can he upset you?
Yeah.
But he has even Eddie sort of enthralled to him. And
well, it's that, it's, I think, the guilt that Emma felt, or the, because George's birth and his early life was very, very traumatic for everyone. It was associated with an enormous amount of emotional turmoil, which we've kind of all forgotten how extreme it really was. And, you know, it involved both families and nobody really knew where they were. And there was this sort of helpless infant in the middle of it. And I think...
Georgie.
The
guilt.
That it's like there's a sensitivity around George. Don't upset him. Don't upset him. There's like this guilt and this sensitivity around George.
Yeah, but George, that's the thing, isn't it?
I don't think that's ever going to go.
No, and that gives him a power, doesn't it? Because it gives him a weapon to... hit Emma with all the time.
Yeah, and he brings it up as often as possible when he needs that leverage to sort of get his own way.
So nasty.
He is. Yes. Yes. Janine says, I've said it once, I'm going to say it again. Alice, you bellend. Apologies to Lucy's mum and all the other listeners that are strangers to the term bellend, but sometimes desperate measures are required. Yes, love from Nina. Yes, she is. And I personally do not believe that you do not have that dinned into you. That's why she doesn't want to tell her sponsor what she's doing.
Yeah, and
so
again,
she knows, and she's chosen to think she knows better again.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But again, it's that who came up with that excellent dark mirror phrase? It's that, isn't it?
Yes, like
I think that was Kate Lloyd-Jones.
I'm not sure.
She's sort of addicted to his recovery. I don't know, and it's all weird, isn't it?
Mm. Nadine is very cross. She said, "No, dear God, no." Today's BBC Radio 4 Facebook reel promoting the Archers has disturbed me. This is not, I repeat, not what Harrison looks like. He looks like the Coronation Street character John Stapes. End of. To quote fascinating Aida, oh, my shattered illusions. Plus, less Brian, more joy.
Harrison's a very good looking man, though.
But not if that's what you don't think he looks like.
But I find it pretty extraordinary that you... wouldn't know what they look like. I mean, you see their images so often now on, well,
but some people
because I go on the website.
Really,
I know some
really,
people deliberately avoid it. Yeah. But with Harrison, I suppose, because he's quite a new character as well, I think the newer the character, the more likely you're going to know who they are because if you're like me, you'll just look them up immediately. Whereas old characters who've been in it since I was a kid and before Tinternet. I mean, that's the thing. Before the website,
I've got no idea what
like.
Clary looks like.
What? You must do.
No.
You haven't
don't tell
at
me.
A picture?
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. No, I've never seen a picture.
Actually, even though I know what she looks like, I don't imagine her like that. I imagine her looking slightly different.
Right. I think I imagine her looking like Pam Ayres.
Yes. Yeah, she does a bit. Okay. Yeah, she does. Yeah.
This is from Alex. Suffolk to Seattle, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Who says, just wanted to add my two pennies worth about Emma and lifting weights. Mm-hmm. I have been doing CrossFit to help with my mental health since August, and it's only now I'm able to see the slightest difference. Yeah, yeah. I am able to lug my 3-year-old about should the need arise, but I am and always will be the bottom of the class, and that's fine by me. The thought of Emma lifting weights for 5 minutes and all of a sudden she's Jeff Capes is farcical. Also, none of the women in my class, the handful of us there are, do not look like we've stuffed a bunch of walnuts down our tights. Yes, that was a pile of poo. That was just ridiculous.
I thought
2 weeks,
well,
3 weeks.
This training must have started 6 weeks ago, then at least, because you're not going to get any results for at least a month. And I mean, yeah, I thought that was a bit odd.
Yeah. Yes. And madness.
Yes. And also, you're going to have to do. Well, I mean, I don't know, but I guess. Well, I suppose you're. I suppose the more trees you climb, the bigger your muscles will get. But you probably will end up looking like a weightlifter. I loved it when Emma was like, yeah, it's not really my style to look like a gladiator. But I'm more petite and delicate than that. She was quite disparaging, I thought, about muscly ladies. But I don't know. Like, I guess if you are a tree surgeon, your upper body strength is going to be immense, isn't it?
But from when William used to do bouldering and all that, all the blokes there were stringy, is basically.
Oh, right.
Because you get really long muscles.
Right. You're hanging off stuff.
Yeah, you don't get that kind of bunched up steroid neck muscles.
Well, that's what we were all thinking when she was talking about.
she's not going to look like The Rock or anything, but they get kind of almost like balletic muscles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you don't get all chunky on the top.
No. It's all kind of sinewy, tendony.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, good for her.
Yeah.
But it's hard to start training if you've been doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. And not when you start on the Saturday and then by Wednesday, apparently, you're so transformed that your boyfriend is now interested in you again. I mean,
Fallon, look at my arms. Look, right. Look at that shadow there. It was never there before. The thing is, you see things that probably aren't really
there. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You're transformed. Yeah.
I like Fallon's kind of has this slightly. Fallon sounds slightly stoned most of the time, I've realised.
No, she just doesn't take no shit.
I don't know what she puts in her cookies, but I'm beginning to brownies. But I'm beginning to suspect it's not just chocolate, because she's sort of like half admiring and half bored to tears when she talks to them. She's like, "Oh right,
but
yeah,
I think
that
she,
should be really good. Well done,
I
you."
I think anyway. Because she, I think she's trying hard to be encouraging, but at the same time, deep down, she's probably thinking, this isn't going to work.
Mm.
Like, and obviously it's a right. And also it's one of those things, isn't it? It's like people who do the marathon and like, oh, all you ever hear is them talking about the marathon. Like, obviously all Emma's been talking about for ages is blooming branches and drills and sores. That's the one.
I've been learning about branches.
Did you know, right? Like the tallest tree that you can chop is, but you know, like I think she's, Fallon's had to try and stay interested for so long that she just glazes over now.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's hard, isn't it? Because you want to, of course, be 100% encouraging, but we're all thinking, this could so easily go wrong.
Yeah.
Just because you've bought the blimming chainsaw
and also,
for a 60% discount.
Let's just start doing it before we start telling everybody how brilliant and it's going to be.
Get some work. Or like, see if you can do it first. What was their course then? Was it just a day?
It was 2 days. They had to come back in between because she apparently had to sit in English GCSE.
Yeah, that's quite sweet. But that can't be all you need to be a tree surgeon, 2 days.
I bloody well hope not, but who knows?
I mean, because that's dangerous, isn't it? But I suppose, you know, at your own risk. Maybe there's more coming up.
It's like, Kate, I've been on a weekend course and now I'm entirely qualified.
I actually found it so funny when Alice, who was barely listening, just went, Kate, I don't think anybody's going to want to bring their horse to yoga.
No, obviously not.
Oh, I love it. I think that is Kerry, isn't it? Kerry loves Kate.
Well, somebody said to him on Twitter again, that can we have more Kate and Miranda? And he said, it's just a gift having both of them in the scene together.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, the classic line when Miranda said, oh, you can do it better than me.
And how many continents? How many children do you have,
Kate? How many children do you have in how many continents? And she went, 2 in 3.
Yeah. This is clearly not the first time she's been asked that.
That was brilliant. But Kate was annoying doing all that investigative work when Brian and Miranda have been gone on 2 dates. But,
Where do you see the future? And I was thinking, God for God, bloody hell.
Oh. If I was Brian, I just would have said, Kate, stop it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're leaving.
Yes.
This is
or you're leaving. We're staying here to have a nice lunch. You are leaving.
Anyway,
Kate Lloyd-Jones says, I fear Bran and Miranda will not be a long-term relationship, but can the scriptwriters please make sure as much you no, please make as much use of Kate versus Miranda as possible whilst they can. Great fun and brings out Kate's inner Peggy. Will was only 9 when Kate involved him in the Blossom Hill gang, so I didn't really count that as the same as his equivalent friendship to 18 to 9-year-old George and Brad. Yes, no, fair enough. Good point. And Alice, she says about Alice, no, just no, stop it now. Yes. Your description of her character in the last episode was spot on. It's not helped by her apparently inheriting Jenny's fixer tendencies. And she says, side note, Harrison is definitely playing up his northernness or is comfortable enough not to be code switching anymore. I enjoyed his deployment of cocker this week, a term I don't think I've heard since Bette Lynch was in her prime behind the bar of the Rover's Return.
Oh, maybe it's another hint that he's going to be taking over the pub.
Yes.
Maybe.
Because they were talking about switching new careers, weren't they? Switching jobs and working together side by side. She said, oh, it's so lovely working with Ed all the time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, yeah. So go on, Fal, and say, oh, I'd love to do something like that with Harrison. And she didn't. Oh,
maybe Harrison is going to work in the cafe on his days off.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's only
and
like
then they'll realise that it's really good.
Yes.
And then,
Harrison, you're actually so good at stacking a dishwasher. Hey, I am that tenter cooker. That's reet.
Oh, I love it. I just love it, Fallon. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. I like Kate's point about bringing out Kate's inner Peggy. It's really interesting, isn't it, that Kate, who on the surface of it is the least Aldridge, classic Aldridge woman, is actually the most snobbish and the most... Protective and the most
territorial,
interfering and territorial. And in fact, you know, she's been vile to Emma before and used every kind of slur she could think of.
Oh, yeah. When was she so awful to Emma? What was that period?
It was when Emma went round and asked for money when Emma had a slightly manic episode.
And also, I think during the Alice alcoholism thing, I think. It flared up again.
Yeah. Yes. David Wright says, watch out, Fallon. He says, what on earth is Fallon playing at? She must know George fancies the pants off her. Is he really the only person who could cover in the tea room? And why is she so keen for him to go back to drinking in the Bull? He's the last person I would want as a local. Well, anyway, what's it got to do with her? Also, please could Harriet do some more in her posh millennial voice when she said she used to live in a village, plus the requisite vocal fry. It cracks me up.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm always happy to speak like this. And it's such a shame that I wasn't actually born in the late 90s, because I think I would definitely be talking like this
the time. I love it.
I love that voice. It's like really weird that, I mean, girls who babysit for me do speak like that.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating that voice. That is how they speak. It's so weird.
It is.
Even Kate Middleton speaks a little bit like that.
Yes.
Doesn't she? Yeah, it's very
weird.
But how
was it? I mean, when I was growing up, overnight, 40% of the kids I went to school with became Australian.
Yeah, because of neighbours.
Yeah.
Like, we all started going up at the end of our sentences.
And also, it was the Californian
you
thing
and
as well.
We belong together.
It was the combination.
I was singing, side note, on the slopes on the chairlift, we were also singing the Home and Away theme tune, which is such a good tune, you actually forget. And someone should release it as a single acoustically.
Should they now?
No matter where we are, you're my guiding star. Yeah, sorry. Just side note.
I think it was a combination of A, Neighbours and Home and Away, and also shows like Beverly Hills 90210, which all had the Californian uplift. And overnight, those two things sort of combined to create this bizarre. So Kettering was full of kids going up at the end.
Britain didn't know what had hit it.
No.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
And then Friends became the, as soon as Friends hit, that became the,
could it
you're
be
like so.
Anymore? Da, 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 yes, I know, isn't
that
funny?
And combined again with the uplift.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
Americanism is, we all speak with an American, with sort of, well, I guess a bit of an American accent, don't we? But also all the kids sort of, because, but it's funny, like even this, like the Raleigh posh ones that like speak like this, they also actually have a voice where they're like trying to be a bit more, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a melange where they're trying to be a bit street, but they can't hide their poshness. It's really funny. But no, basically, everyone's sort of like going to sound, we're all going to sound exactly the same, aren't we, in 100 years probably.
Oh, I really hope not.
I know, it's so sad, isn't it? But I mean, even where I lived, not Hampstead, but Hampshire, there was a very prominent Hampshire accent in the village I grew up with amongst the old folk.
Yeah.
And of course, there is still a Hampshire accent, but it's not quite the ticket that it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I think the real, like, it's sort of more generic Southwest, just towny now, actually, isn't it? That's what's happened. That the lovely regional accents are just, we're all getting closer to a city or a town, aren't we? And then we all sound the same.
Yes. Yes.
In it?
Yep. It's very sad.
Shame
I don't
that.
Like
That's why
it.
It's so important for everybody on the Archers to have an accent. Wasn't such Lucy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, talking of that, James Everett, who is a complete hero, has managed to find one of the vintage clips that people asked for.
Wow, James!
And this is an absolute humdinger. I've listened to it about 4 times today.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Shall I tell you who's in it, or do you know what you
want
to tell?
Oh, okay. But if it's very, very vintage, I might not know.
No, you will know. You will know.
Okay,
I'm pretty
brilliant.
Sure. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Not so rusty, couldn't go into Borchester yesterday.
He had to fetch a spare part, didn't he?
That's what he said. He had to give Susan Orobin a lift as well.
Oh, she's a nice young wench now, ain't her? Nice and fresh looking.
I think she's sly.
Oh, no, I don't think so. She's quiet, but I don't think she's sly.
I do. Why did she have to get a lift with Eddie?
Well, he offered. I was there. Wouldn't take no for an answer.
Oh, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he remind me with that crust, Clary. You nearly got me in the eye then.
He was leaning over the bar, telling her he'd get her into Borchester for 10 o'clock.
Of course, the old family's always been troublemakers.
Not the girls, only the boys.
Well, there's half of them in prison, to my knowledge.
Oh, no. Keith's in trouble, I think.
Well, he always is. But there's never been any trouble with the girls.
Well, that depends what you mean by trouble, Tom. Oh, Granny went to church in April and had the babby in June.
No, I don't think she's pretty, neither. Her legs are stumpy.
Oh, well, of course you don't see her legs when her's behind the bar now, do you?
Well, you see them when her gets on the stool to reach something down. I can't remember them.
Very short and stumpy they are. And she's got thick ankles.
Is that Clary?
Yeah.
Wow.
Having a right slag off of Susan.
That is incredible. I like that should to, be framed and like put in a living room.
Walter Gabriel's.
Oh, so that's Walter Gabriel. Yeah. The proper. Yeah. That one. Wow. And then it's Tom Forrester.
Tom Forrest. Yeah.
Tom Forrest. Oh, Lucy, that is absolutely
Guess what
classic.
Year that was from?
76?
83.
Oh, my God. Actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been 1945.
I know.
It? The
I
quality
know.
Of it.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, if Clary hadn't been in it, I probably would have said 1958. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But Clary was, I forget that that Clary was very jealous of Eddie. She was very protective of him. Well, probably because
he was a ladies' man.
He was a bit of a rogue. And she was very jealous of Jolene because at the time Jolene was Lily of Leighton Cross.
Oh,
and
yes.
Clary was very threatened by her, but largely because Eddie used to follow her around with his tripping over his own tongue. But I didn't realise she was quite so jealous of Susan as well. And to say she had not a lot of female sisterhood going on in that clip, was there? Her also, and her stumpy legs and everything
what's
else.
What's so funny, that is a classic thing that people used to say. I remember my mum always talking about, like, oh, she's got very thick ankles.
Yes.
It's as, because in this new body shaming world, you could never say that about somebody's legs. Doesn't matter what size her ankles are. They'll just be that beautiful. But that was like, I remember my granny even, like, who didn't have the finest legs in the world, but talking about a relative's legs and they're tree trunks, darling, aren't they? You know, there's something about insulting someone's legs that seems to be the worst insult in the world. When it's very hard to have perfect pins yourself.
Yes, it is.
Wow. But funnily enough, Clary, even though Clary now is much older and a completely different actress.
No, she's not. That's the same Clary back again.
Oh, God, because I was going to say, I thought that must be a different actress.
No,
but I was going to say
original,
the intonation is exactly the same.
That was original Clary. Then she went away and we had someone else. And now original Clary's come back. Yeah.
Oh, that is amazing. Yeah, because it sounded like her, didn't it? But just very much younger.
Much sort of lighter and la la la. Yes.
She got very thick ankles, Eddie.
Yeah.
I don't like it that she's going around with him in the car.
Why did he have to pick her up? Oh.
She shouldn't get on that stool in the bar. What with everyone looking at her ankles? Oh, it's Alice like that.
Oh, Alice instead
said,
of well, always.
Got married in April, had the baby in June.
The babby in June. Oh, that's so good, James. Thank you so much for finding that. I love hearing the old voices.
Yes, thanks, James.
Oh, we could be like the heritage, you know, like the BBC did. They had, I don't know if they still got it, they had an amazing voices website where they had interviewed lots of older, they interviewed different generations, but in particular areas. So you could go on the map, you could go on the British map and click on any part of the UK. And they'd have sort of three clips, one of a young person talking, one of an old person. So you could hear and they were talking about their accent and their, you know, and dialect and things like that. And it was so brilliant and such a good tool if you're learning accents and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it exists anymore. I think it was called BBC Voices.
Probably not.
But we could be the museum of the...
The museum of the arts.
The museum of the Midlands voice. Love. The true one.
Talking of voices, Lucy Traves is currently in San Francisco on her Hollyers. And she
said,
my host's car's sat-nav appears to be voiced by Harry Chilcott Inquiry.
Oh,
I keep waiting for him to add Alice to every direct. After the next lights, turn left, Alice.
Oh, no, that's quite scary.
Have a fabulous holiday, Lucy. I'm very nervous.
San Fran. Wow.
Now, do you want to hear the most best Harriet review we've ever had?
Yes, please, Lucy.
Okay,
give it to me.
This is from Matt Bromhead in Stryer, as he puts it.
Brilliant.
And I'm going to read the PS first because it's the best bit.
Okay.
P.S. Great sound quality now, hence no emails from me recently. Yay!
Oh my God, we didn't even check the levels before this podcast.
But we don't need to, because if it was all right last time, it's going to be all right this time, because we haven't fiddled with anything.
No, I do. I fiddle with my levels pretty much every day, Lucy.
Why do you do that?
Because I have to for different jobs.
Oh. Can you not have a special set of stuff for us?
What I need to do is get a little bit of coloured sticky tape and put it on the level washers that are the Ambridge on the Couch level.
Yes. Well, yes.
Which is about, if anyone could remember this at the moment, if this is working, it's about just past 2 p.m. on the level. On the level dial.
2 p.m.? In the afternoon, do you mean? What are you talking about?
Two. Just past two.
Just past
on the clock of the dial.
2 p.m. in the afternoon is the right. Okay, good. That's
Can you just remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank God. Because sometimes I'm told to take it down to one.
Are you?
1 p.m.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's lunchtime. Yeah. Matt Bromhead said, brilliant pod as usual, 5 stars. Thank you. G'day, Cobbers, and a huge hello from the Sydney Sound Police, he says. Your last pod highlighted an archer's practice that has bugged me for over 25 years and seems to have become more prevalent in the last 5 to 10. Why do characters constantly use the name of the person they are talking to? On the radio, I get that you need to identify who's who in a scene, but when there are only two characters chatting in a room, isn't it a bit weird to use names so often? Or, Lucy, am I completely wrong, he says.
Well, Matt. No.
Interesting you should say that, Matt. I think it's because about 5 years ago, and it's interesting that you said between 5 and 10 years ago, in that period we had a sort of a really big push to bring new, younger audience members into the Archers. And I think it started happening then because they really wanted to make it very evident to new listeners who was talking, because it really helped people catch up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd have a total exchange where all of us oldies were going, oh, yeah, of course that's Helen talking to whoever. But if you were new, you're just like, who are these people just yakking on about sheep and, you know, what's going on? So they tried to do it subtly, but it doesn't work because it is something that we don't do in normal conversation. It's incredibly, I've had to write it before and it's incredibly difficult to write.
Although we did
to
say
sound
that,
naturally.
That we think that people do it if they're trying to emphasize or as you said, trying to keep them engaged and they've got, you know, trying
or
to hammer
you're
the
angry
point
with someone, like you'd go, for God's sake, Harriet,
you
if
might
the person concerned happened
times
to be called Harriet and you were really, really angry with them.
Well, it happens a lot. It happens a lot in my house. But God, even the kids call me Harriet when they're
really
annoyed at me. Yeah. Oh, Harriet.
Mine called me Mother. I got a message from Tilly the other day saying, Mother, have you been drinking? Because I...
Is she worried about you?
I told her what music I was listening to and that I was really enjoying it. And she just put, Mother, have you been drinking? So that's nice.
Oh, she thought that you'd have one of those, you know, when you do have a glass of wine and then you get all lovey and
you
emotional,
get all expansive and
hormonal.
Yes.
I must reach out to my darling baby. Darlings, I'm sorry Mummy shouts at you all the time, but I love you so much, darlings. I'm such a terrible mother. I never do that, obviously.
No. Have you heard, I think I've said this before, have you heard Dylan Moran's thing that he does about gin?
No.
His bit that he does about gin. You know Dylan Moran?
Is it Caitlin Moran's?
No. He's
brother.
A stand-up comedian. He was in Black Books.
Oh, okay.
Irish. Cool. And he calls gin, he calls it mascara thinner. And he said, any major event, like wedding, christening, funeral, whatever, birthday party, there will always be a point where there's a woman standing at the top of the leg, at the top of the stairs with the gin glass in her hand and one leg sort of buckling out underneath her every now and again, saying, I have made 342 sandwiches for this event. Not one of you has said thank you.
Oh, sign of a great night.
Yes, somebody crying in the loo and someone else shouting at everybody for feeling underappreciated.
A couple having sex in the hedgerow and somebody vomiting on the other side. Great weddings.
Right. So thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you. Thanks, and Matt. Now I hope you don't have to, like, ever get in touch about sound quality again.
Yes, but do get in touch again. I mean,
yes, obviously.
That's not it. We're not done. Anyway, so do you remember last week's clip when they were all trying to chivy Harassment, who was then from Epsom, apparently.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
About the speed cameras.
Yeah.
That was from May 2017.
Oh, okay, not that long ago.
James says, after a series of speeding cars started through the village, Linda decided what Ambridge needed were Speedwatch volunteers. Volunteer numbers are low. However, when Brian accidentally hits Peggy's cat, Bill, Jennifer signs herself, Brian, Lillian and Kate up to volunteer.
Oh, right.
Yes. See, you need a Jenny, don't you? Someone to say, right on, this is what's happening. So this is this week's clip. Are you ready?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
What the is happening?
Oh, gosh. Oh.
That was your cue.
Oh, no, I was shocked.
I will not allow you to speak to me like that.
I asked you to leave, Kate.
Do you know what you're doing?
Well, I was going to watch telly, actually.
You're projecting. Putting your mistakes onto me, blaming me for your weaknesses.
Oh, give me strength.
You've finally fulfilled your destiny and become a certified loser.
Yeah, and you've hit the big time, of course. Nearly 40 and back in Ambridge living with Mummy and Daddy.
How dare you suggest I'm nearly 40?
Oh, get lost, Kate.
I will go when I'm good and ready. The fact is, Roy, I relied on you.
Oh,
might
that be the best line ever written in The Archers? I think I remember
fine
that
being
line.
A loser. I am not nearly 40.
She's such a good actress, isn't she?
Yeah.
She is such a good actress.
Yeah. She's got really good timing.
Yes.
Yes, Kate and Roy, obviously, but what was the row about?
Well, was it after I assume it must be, because I think that was not that long ago, because her 40th was only 6 or 7 years ago. Maybe not even that. I think she's older than me, Kate.
Yeah.
But, and I'm only 28, so.
So all bets are off, frankly.
Yeah, all bets are off.
It
can't have been when they were together.
I suspect she's about 47, 48. I think. Because
yes.
There was a story about her being perimenopausal, wasn't there?
Yeah. Mm. So she's just come over, but this is, and she's just come back over.
Yeah.
And what were they rowing about then? Ooh, dunno. Maybe she'd upset Phoebe.
Well, she normally has, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. But that was a proper row.
Yeah.
And also that was like before Roy became a comedian.
Yeah.
Because he sounded really angry and impassioned there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely Roy.
Yeah.
I think they were arguing.
No, it was a proper, ooh.
Yes.
They proper got the bags on, hadn't they?
Because when she came back, she started snogging
Rex.
Toby. Or Rex, one of them, yeah.
Toby.
And, I don't know. But great line, best line ever.
But then there was the... Oh no! There was the drugs with Freddie, but that was Nolitando, wasn't it? It wasn't Phoebe.
Yeah.
I can't.
Maybe
think
she'd
of...
let. It could have been one of those things where, you know, she'd let Phoebe down. She was supposed to meet her for lunch, or, you know,
Why?
It doesn't matter because she heard that great line.
It sounds like she'd done something, and Kate was really angry with Roy because she was defensive about whatever it was that she'd done. But then that's Kate's sort of default setting, isn't it? If she's accused of doing something, she won't accept it and just lashes out at
exactly. It could be one of the 100 million things Kate's done to upset
everybody.
A member of her family or a friend. Yes. So don't know, but what a outstanding line. Exceptional
How
delivery.
How dare you?
How dare you suggest I'm nearly 40? It was just that she delivered it so well. Be good. Thanks, James.
It's interesting, isn't it, how all of the Aldridge girls, except Debbie, have ended up with men or have had relationships with men who cannot stop talking about their reliance on Mummy and Daddy. Because Chris always used to go on about that to Alice.
Yeah.
And Roy did it to Kate. And I think it is that kind of part jealousy, part I'm excluded from this clan, this close clan.
Yeah.
And it's not mine. And yeah, and jealousy, because they know that if you're born into a family with that kind of dosh, you're never really at risk. You can only be at risk emotionally. You can't be at risk materially, because there's always somebody there with a checkbook one step behind you.
You're likely to have as much loyalty to them, or probably more loyalty to them than to your partner.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's, you can't give your whole heart to your partner.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which is threatening to a lot of people, I think.
It is. No matter where you are.
Matt, can you do something about this?
You're my shining star, Roy. You and me belong together.
Matt, can we do a Neighbours version of the Archers theme?
Oh, yeah. It's not quite as good a tune, is it?
Not sure how that's going to work, but anyway. Oh, yes, sorry, Home and Away, isn't it?
Neighbours would be a better mashup, though, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Become
now.
Become good friends. Do-do-do-do. But I was trying to, I can't mash it up in my head.
What's the da-da-da-da?
That was the end of the Archers.
Oh.
Neighbours become good. That's why Matt's so good. It's really hard. It's really hard to mash it up.
I've had a little go at it myself, and it's actually a lot more difficult than I expected. Sorry, I'm just looking at something. Ah, that's right. And now we are going to cross over to spiritual hummus, where Kate is running to go to eavesdrop on her Find Your Inner Child workshop.
Namaste, everyone. Welcome. Namaste. Welcome to the Spiritual Home Workshop, designed to heal your inner child. Oh, watch out for the guy ropes there. We're not insured for chafing.
Inner child? I thought it was a first aid thing. I need it for the school groups when they get bitten by badgers or fall out of trees at the rewilded ding thing. You know, bandaging and splints and tetanus and all of that.
Krusty, we cannot heal the damage that life inflicts on our outer child before we've addressed the child within. Also, I don't do refunds. Plus, I don't believe in Western medicine, so I certainly wouldn't get involved with tetanus. Tetanus is simply nature's way of telling you that you're not engaged enough with Mother Earth.
Oh, I didn't realise you gave medical advice as well, Kate.
Of course I do. I'm a yoga teacher. All yoga teachers like to chip in with possibly life-threatening little tidbits they've picked up on Instagram. When Dad had his heart problems, was it the bypass surgery that helped him, or was it my licorice tea recommendation? I know what I think.
So do I.
Hello, hello, it is me, Febreze of
Yes, we know. Come in and sit down, Febreze. You're late.
Oh, yes. I am sorry about that. I had to leave my woohoo further down, as I did not want muddy wheels. She hate that.
Where have you parked?
Well, I sort of stop rather than park. On the road. But here I am, ready to be healed. I have many issues.
Great. I'm so glad you're here with an open mind. First of all, I want to get you into child pose and breathe slowly and deeply.
What is child pose?
Throwing a massive tantrum at the bottom of a slide.
Krusty, you are radiating negativity.
Well, I'm here by accident, but I've paid now, so I may as well go through with it.
Breathe and drop those shoulders. Now, try and conjure up a picture of your earliest child memory. What was it? Where are you? How do you feel?
I know, with my brother Sif. He is making me play football and I am cry because I have just varnished my little toes and it smudge. Is that right?
There is no right or wrong, Febreze. It's not a competition. It's an exploration. What are your feelings about Sif?
I hate him. He wear nylon football shirt and shout, "Oe, oe, oe, oe," and call me... He called me Daisy Duke.
He sounds horrible, Febreze.
He was. He does not like me because my mother loved me more and always let me have first go at the goat curd.
I don't think I've got any brothers or sisters. No one's ever told me. They've never been to Ambridge if I have.
Oh, that is sad.
Guys, I love free expression and spontaneity, but only when I say so. Now, Febreze, put yourself back in that place. Imagine yourself back in that football game. Let's replay it and change the narrative. What would you say to Sif?
Versnitch neostenana bayakna.
Is that like a Harry Potter thing to make his legs fall off?
No, it is Eurovision for... I cannot say it to you, but it is not nice. And thinking about it, a five-year-old should not say it. And anyway, it is not physically possible without ladder and some WD-40.
Okay, let's leave, Sif. What would you say to little Febreze?
Hello, little Febreze. I like your hair.
And your nail varnish.
Thank you, Auntie Krusty.
This is more fun than I expected. This is getting away from us a little, I think. Let's turn to you, Krusty. What's your earliest memory?
I'm standing in Asda in Formby, urging my mother to buy Ecover. There are tears in my eyes. She won't. She says it doesn't work on my dad's shirts and she needs aerial bio. I'm pleading. Oh, Febreze, it's so sad.
Oh, Krusty, I am sorry. This is very move. Do what Kate say and change narrative. Threaten to have tantrum, take all clothes off and sweep all off shelf if she does not put the Ecover in her basket.
Would that work?
It'd work for little Febreze. And teenage Febreze, actually. In fact, well into my early 20s. Hang on, though. If your father was very stinky under the armpit bulls, then, to be honest, he was probably better off with the aerial bio.
Okay, now we've gone completely off topic. Let's reset, everyone. Yoga breathing. Close one nostril. Yes? Hello? Is someone outside? What is it? Oh, hello, Ruth. I'm afraid you're interrupting quite an intense session. What is it?
We're trying to move the Herefords and there's a little car with eyelashes blocking the lane. We thought it was one of your lot. I'm afraid David's had to push it into the ditch a bit.
My woohoo! Don't touch! Oh my God, it will be covered in cow patties. I'm coming, woohoo! Let me out! Where is door of this stupid tenting? David!
Well, that's rude.
Thank you very much, Kate, Febreze, and Uncle Tom Cobley and all who was in that one.
Yes.
Yes, must have been very tiring.
It was. I've just done it. That's why I'm a bit croaky.
Right, that's it.
Thank you.
We're going to be out on time, Harriet.
Oh, good great. No, because the kid will be coming back soon.
Oh, the kid.
He'll read
okay.
The book. He's the one member of my family who reads fast.
Is this the lost kid or a different kid? Oh, this is the kid with the book.
This is the kid with the book. The lost kid, I don't know, I think she might still be. Oh, she's coming back in 15.
Yeah, because Alison's bringing her back, isn't she?
Yeah.
I've now got a vested interest in where this child is because safeguarding, etc.
Alison doesn't listen to this, but no. Shout out to Alison, who is the kindest, nicest woman in the world. She's actually too good to be true, which means she's probably evil deep down.
Yeah.
But she is lovely.
Maybe she's in a satanic witch cult and she keeps taking your children to go and be sacrificed and they keep getting away at the last minute. Mummy, we don't like it when Alison makes us drink the blood.
I think Eliza would like to live with Alison,
oh,
to be honest.
Okay.
She's a great mom. She's great.
Everyone's always got a family, their fantasy family that they'd rather live with, haven't they? Rather than the one that they're actually stuck with.
I know. Unfortunately, I don't think we are anybody's fantasy family. Quite the opposite, in fact. Most kids can't wait to leave.
My friend's child used to sit on the beach on her towel and she'd find a nice family and she'd just start watching her towel closer and closer and closer to the nice family until she was sharing their picnic and, you know, generally just being absorbed into the nice family. And her mother would be glaring at her across the beach going, "Wait, you come back here."
I'd be the mother that's not glaring. I'm just going, "Go on, a bit further, a bit further. You're nearly in that family now." But
Actually, that happened to us when we went camping once. There was a family next to us. I mean, when I say camping, glamping, of course.
Okay, yeah.
But there was a family next to us and they had a 5-year-old
kid. Camping in the way
kid.
That Lillian and Justin went camping. Yes.
In the Black Forest. Yes, in a massive jacuzzi-filled...
with a sofa and, yeah.
Plastic box. Yeah. No, yeah. So, but their family had a newborn baby, so fair enough, they weren't really concentrating. But their 5-year-old joined our family and... this not with my permission because he was quite annoying, but he basically spent the whole weekend with us in our tent, sort of going, have you got any snacks, one of those, and
oh,
it
God.
Was so annoying, and the family was so preoccupied with their newborn that you know, they didn't notice that this kid was constantly with us. They probably thought that, you know, my children were enjoying playing with, but my kids were like, this kid is really annoying.
Yeah.
Send him back.
Who is he?
I know. We don't want him. And he was, oh, God, he did my head in. But I felt, you know, you can't sort of go, I'd sort of go, oh, Fia, I'm sure Mummy's waiting to give you your lunch now. And go, no, she isn't. Yes, she is.
She's got her boobs out.
And if she isn't,
small
she,
one. Yes.
Yeah, she bloody should be. I know, but that's the thing. I felt sorry for him because,
yeah,
you know, he was in that awkward, just got a newborn. Anyway.
I don't know whether this is just me being in my inverse snobbery or what,
but
it seems to be quite a middle class thing, that middle class children have no sodding boundaries.
Yeah, they're confident.
They're confident and really, really annoying. And but it's not just the children, it's the parent, it's all of them. We were on the beach. We were sat there with our towel. It was a little place near here that's got sort of little different little coves, individual little coves.
Oh, lovely, Lucy, like the and, famous five.
Yes, exactly. And so we were sitting in our little cove with our stuff and
rain.
Our towel and everything else. And this family, they had, like, you know, out of control red setter and four children and everything else, and you could hear them coming from 7 miles away.
It was my family.
Hugo, do be careful on those rocks. Has anyone seen Poppy? Oh, no, she's here. Blah, 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 all the way along the thing.
And I forgot the Scotch eggs.
Yeah. And I was thinking, I do hope you keep going. But of course they didn't. So they trot down to our little cove. And it was completely empty. And they sat so close to us that the towels overlapped.
No. Oh, stop it.
No.
What?
Dead true, completely true.
That can't be normal.
And I just looked at the children and I said, right, should we go then? And they went, yep, and we just packed up and left.
Oh, that is so... Do you know what? They might have done that to get you to pack up and leave because they were that entitled.
I think they just think they're so bloody wonderful. They can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want to share the joy of them.
Oh, how awful. They might have thought, because you've got older kids, they might have got a bit of babysitting out
of it. No, it's when all the kids are the same age. So my kids were like,
oh, right, okay.
You know,
so they
six
thought,
and
okay,
eight. And, yeah.
They were like playmates.
Yeah,
yeah, there's some playmates for my children. How annoying, Lucy. Don't put your towel anywhere near anyone else's towel. Unless it's Bournemouth and it's, you know, a Saturday and it's 30 degrees. Then, of course, you're like touching towels. But, oh, dear, no.
No towel touching.
No towel touching. No, that's dreadful. It's really hard, isn't it, when towels are so close together and you're trying to walk around towels to get to your towel, but you accidentally put your toe on a towel.
Yes.
And oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, pardon. Excuse me. Pardone. Oh, my God. Where am I?
Yes.
Anyway, well, on that note.
Yes. Completely unconnected.
Never trespass on my towel.
Yes. Get off the towel.
They should go to the beach more often in the Archers, FYI. They never do. They're so landlocked.
Shall I make them go? Shall I write something where they go to the beach?
Oh, Jeff's just texting me. I've missed the first line of that sketch, so I better do it again. I better do it now.
Jeff's got his head in his hands again.
it was all haphazard. There was kids in here. You'll hear a lot of children in the background of that recording. There was nothing I could do about it. Right, I better do it now. So thanks for listening.
Yes. Oh, and now. Ah, yes. Now,
Patreons. We didn't have time. We
we've run out of time because I've got to redo that line.
We've run out of time to do the Patreons, but we're going to do a thing for you, Patreons. What we want you to do, if you don't mind, is can you send me, Harriet and Jeff, send us an email, put an email to ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com, or you can do it through the Patreon messaging website thingy. So go onto your Patreon account and do it from there. Ask us any question that you want to know about it. Can so it needn't necessarily be about us and the archers. It can just be about us if you want.
Not rude.
Not no.
Or too personal.
No. Or pin numbers or anything like that.
We cannot guarantee to give you a truthful answer.
Yes, but we will make every effort to do so. and so, if there's anything you think, I wonder where da-da-da-da-da-da, then you ask us. And then I will interview each of us, or someone else is going to have to interview me, whatever, I'll interview myself. And then we'll send it, and only you will hear it. So only for Patreons. So we're not going to put it out on the big podcast. We will just give it to Patreons.
No, but do you only hear your own question?
No, no, no. You hear everyone else's as well.
Oh.
Otherwise, that would be very difficult. So anything that you've ever wanted to know, or whatever prurient interest you have in our lives, private or otherwise, then please feel free to ask us it. Email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com or use the Patreon. What's it? And we will answer your questions, and we will put it out just for Patreons.
What would you ask me?
What level are you on? 2 p.m. Okay.
At 2 p.m.
At 2 p.m.
Currently a really wacky one. I'd ask you, how thick are your ankles?
Massive. They're like the inner bits of a kitchen roll.
That's quite slender, actually. Nice. They look good on a bar stool. we forgot to discuss the name of the tree surgery business. I was trying to come up with alternatives. I couldn't think. Literally, the only pun I could think of was truly good.
I still think Emma Grundy and Get Wood. I still think that.
Just Get Wood.
Yeah.
Ed and Emma, Get Wood.
Yeah.
No, Ed, Get Wood. Yeah. What you said. Anyway, right, better go. Kay. Thanks for having me. Thanks so much for listening and reviewing and liking, subscribing, all of that stuff.
And we're going out with Matt's tribute to Fallon and Georgie, or rather what Georgie thinks is Fallon's attitude to him. So it's the theme from Love Story.
Oh, cute.
Yes. So go and record your line, lady.
Yeah, sure. And then I'll do a Home and Away homage.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.